AM 1230 WJBC. Kevin Bessler here. Scott Lachlan here. And look, there's Dean Plumador. What do you... You can control your microphone.
Can I?
Yeah. Is there not a button over there? Stock never turns it on either when he's over there.
It's way over there. I have to use the other one.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. I'm confused.
Someday we're going to get new studios.
I'm a computer guy. I'm not a radio guy. I don't know how this stuff works.
Hey,
we
got
so complex.
We have a new computer here.
Yeah. I saw that.
You helped me out there with something.
That's so cool. New tech is awesome.
Yeah, I know.
But you know, I still hate moving into new computers. It's kind of like moving houses.
Right.
You know?
We're already missing something critical. And Eric Stock has to do his news from Kevin's chair.
Oh.
He's got the audio
So that
program.
Means Kevin actually has to move?
Kevin has to get up and move. Out. Oh, you should see him, too. Dragging his butt out the door. Then he disappears for 10 minutes. We don't know where he goes.
Well, fabulous Fear the Bird Friday.
Yes.
Hey. First week back after spring break. Most of my students are back. I'm very excited.
So you had classes this week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, because now they start the District 87 and Unit 5 go on spring break.
Oh, that's true.
So it's just a big shift.
It is.
Yeah,
it
it's
is.
Like migration.
Yeah.
They all come up. What'd you do for spring break? Anything?
I was working.
How'd your kid go? Where'd he go?
Panama. He was with the honors trip
down
to Panama.
Yeah, did he have a good time?
It was a nice cultural exchange program. It was awesome. He had a great time.
Balcony diving? Anything going crazy? Did he talk about?
No, not that sort of thing.
Nobody went to jail?
No, he didn't tell me that.
All right.
No, maybe they were sworn. You know what happens in Panama?
That's
stays.
True. That's true. All right. Hey, are you okay with staying on the Facebook? Do you have Facebook?
Oh, of course
are
I am.
Are we Facebook
you know,
friends?
Yeah, we are.
All right.
Yeah. And I'm going to stay because, you know, that's how old people communicate these
you know,
days.
It is old. It is old people. The kids are getting off it. But there's on Twitter, this hashtag delete Facebook thing was trending earlier this week.
Oh, my goodness.
Are they just reacting? Yeah. Well, my guess is they're just reacting and then they're going to calm down and everybody will stay on Facebook.
Yeah, because right now it's such a critical mass of people that are on Facebook. It's like if you delete your Facebook stuff, you're going to kind of delete a major social presence.
How will I know what Bessler's drinking on his patio on a sunny afternoon?
Well,
how will he know what I'm drinking? Because we exchange photos of sweaty glasses. Yeah.
Flashing back to I was down at El Toro with wife one day, and through the margarita glasses, you could see my Corvette in the parking lot.
Did you take a picture?
Oh, it was perfect. It was awesome.
We call it booze porn.
Really?
Yeah.
And you posted that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It was hilarious.
Yeah, that's really all I do. I don't put it on Facebook. I just send them to...
Right. Yeah. Oh, well, that's no fun. You got to share it with people who don't really care about what you're doing every minute of the day.
If people saw what I posted or what I sent to Kevin in the way of drinks, there's a couple of people in our little circle. They think I had a big problem.
Well, no faces, just glasses, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah, just glasses. All right. So if anybody's interested in deleting Facebook, it's not easy to do.
No, it really isn't. And
it's like getting rid of, AOL? Mm-hmm. Or cable.
Yeah, kind of. So the big thing you need to figure out is, are you just mad at Facebook and you want to deactivate? So you just want to take a pause, right? Basically, that leaves your account intact. All of your friend relationships are remembered. And nobody can post to you. You can't post to anything. It's just like you kind of disappear. Like you're kind of on vacation.
Can I troll, though?
No, because when you sign on, you reactivate it.
All right.
So you really – it's kind of a – you step out of the room and you just don't come back in, right? If you want to delete, yeah, it is kind of a pain. And here's a weird thing. It may take up to 90 days – for you to leave the Facebook ecosystem.
Why?
Computers, backups, things they keep, log files. What did you do? you know, this whole evidentiary sort of thing. If
they can store it away and they have something on you.
Well, yeah, totally. Yeah, there's all kinds of threads of things that you've done, things that you've liked, things that you've looked at. And then all of those data files are backed up. And then there's backups of backups. And what I was reading is those finally age out after about 90 days. So
after 90 days, let me ask you, is there then no trace of you ever being on Facebook, or does somebody have it somewhere cached away?
There's no original content that you have produced left in the Facebook ecosystem. Now, you and I are friends. If you have sent posts to me, if you've shared things with me, if you've had a Facebook Messenger conversation with me, your end of that maintains. It's still there, but my end is gone. If that makes sense. So, you know, the communication is two ways, right? So it's a little bit morbid, but think about it if someone passes. Those of us who remember the person remember the conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Their end of the conversation, of course, is gone. That's exactly the way it works with Facebook when you delete it. Your end of this conversation is gone and interaction.
All right, so that's if you delete.
Yes.
All right. It takes 90 days.
Yes.
All right. Can I just Google, how do I delete my Facebook?
I've actually got a link on the DeanTechTalk.com blog site with a link directly to the Facebook help for how to delete, how to deactivate. It's got a nice little conversation about what's the difference, too. Couple of fairly clear paragraphs. I've never tried to do this before. And working through their instructions, it's painful, but it's understandable.
So when you deactivate, it's immediate?
Yes.
And then I can activate just as quickly?
Yes. Okay. Now, in the deactivate standpoint, they said that if you sign back on to Facebook to look at stuff or whatever, you're reactivated. So the active stepping into the room, you are back, right? Delete, you're done. Once the final deletion, are you sure, absolutely positive, they've locked the door. You're not coming back in. You'd have to create a whole new account.
I would be a different person. I am Don Sturdy. Come back as Don Sturdy. All right. So have you heard anything? Are people dumping their accounts?
I have heard. My Facebook ecosystem, nobody cares, apparently.
All right. So I have a question for you, though, because you talked about people passing. How about, do we all have Facebook friends that have passed away? They're still on Facebook?
Yeah.
Is there any way, like if I pass away, can my wife delete my account somehow?
No,
do I have to put it in the will?
There's additional things that she would have to do to prove that you have passed and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Death certificate?
Yeah.
Will?
Something.
Are we going to have to start doing that? Are we going to have to post in our will, hey, delete my Facebook page?
So that's a whole thing, is how do you unwind your social media presence if you live in a cave or if you pass or whatever? That's kind of a big deal. I mean, how do you do that?
Yeah, because a birthday will come up. And you mean, let's say you've been dead for 5 years and people are wishing you happy
birthday. Well, they do, though. They'll do that. Yeah. I see that on my friends that have passed away. You go to their website, especially on their birthday. You're thinking of them. You go to the website and there's people posting happy birthday wishes.
The timeline effect of Facebook, a year after something happens, it comes up in your stream and says, hey, do you want to share this? Because you posted it a year ago. Mm-hmm. I actually use that to remember stuff. You know, how long ago did something happen? So I'll post it.
Anniversaries.
And Facebook. Do it the day before.
All right. You know, and I'm getting off on it. But it's amazing to me, all the Facebook users, all this stuff is stored, I imagine, in the cloud. Is it infinite? And you think about that. How about YouTube and video?
Oh, yeah. That's something that has always amazed me, is all of the bits that are consumed on the other end of the wire for the Netflix, for the Hulu, for the YouTube. YouTube is one of the massive consumers of data space in their cloud environment. Now, let's not forget, all the cloud is somebody else's computer, right? That's all it is. So it's nothing magical. It's nothing mysterical, mysterious, I don't know, whatever.
Mysterious?
Yeah, sure. That was really hard. It's just another computer at the other end of the network connection on the internet. So the cloud was a marketing thing. They wanted that to be...
But it's a pretty big computer to hold all
this. Well, it's not one. It's thousands.
Yeah.
It's thousands, thousands. I've seen video tours of Google data centers that are the size of football stadiums. So computers are put in racks about the size of a home refrigerator. And you can get 42 servers in a rack like that. Now think of those. Think of a football field with rows and rows and rows of refrigerators stood up side by side, and then the middle rows are back to back, and there's just enough space in between the rows to open the doors. That's a data center. Yeah. That's what a data center would look like. Google folks, they have Segways with saddlebags on them. When a server dies, the tech loads up a couple of servers in his saddlebags and goes to find that refrigerator door somewhere.
Where are these housed?
Usually they're where the temperature is not too extreme, typically on a little bit cooler side because they can reduce their costs for air conditioning and air conditioning mainly. They don't care about heat. They also look for cheap power, like North Carolina. Apparently power is incredibly cheap in the Carolinas. Hmm. So there's a lot of data centers in that area. Also nowadays they're starting to look for locations that are typically sunnier, that have more sunny days, because they're buying four times the amount of land they need, and they're rolling out solar panels to supplement, right?
Right here in central Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting solar panels. Yeah. Solar farms. All right. That's very interesting.
Yeah. The cloud is absolutely a whole bunch of blinking lights and whirring fans in a giant room that sucks massive amounts of power. That's all the cloud is.
All right. Let's talk about home automation.
So one of my pet peeves that I've been trying to solve the problem is how can I open and close my garage door through Alexa, or how do I know whether the door is open? Like right now, did I close the door?
Uh-huh.
Can I figure that out right now? That's one of the questions I've been trying to solve. Chamberlain is one of the big garage door opener companies, right? I'll bet 3/4 of us have a Chamberlain opener. They've got something called MyQ, MyQ Garage, which is a cloud-connected garage door opener. And it's got a nice little sensor on it that you lick and stick to the inside of the door, and it lets you know whether the door is up or down, et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't connect to Alexa. So not real happy about that personally. It connects to the Google ecosystem, but not to the Amazon ecosystem. So if you're a Google Home user, the Chamberlain MyQ is about $130, and it seems to be a rock-solid solution. What got me started on this the other day was this news piece I saw on a new product called Nex Garage. It's N-E-X-X Garage. I got these links on the blog site as well. This one's about $100, and it is opener agnostic, and it connects to Alexa and Google Home, and this seems to be, for me, exactly what I'm trying to do. So I can ask, right now I could bring up my Amazon app with Alexa and find out whether the door was open or closed. So I'm kind of excited about that, and it's about a $100 gizmo to solve, you know, that nagging problem that we all have.
I don't have that nagging problem.
No.
You don't?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You will tomorrow.
When I pull out, I watch the garage door go down before I take off. I make sure, because, you know, a leaf can blow in there and break the beam and then send it back up.
Yeah. Leaves don't blow around in central Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I handle that.
Okay. All right, you just watch it.
he thinks he's going to, and now I'm going to go, I'm going to be sitting at my desk in an hour and a half. You know, I wonder if I left the garage door open.
Close it?
Well, I really wish I had an app that would hook up to Alexa so I could just ask.
Or how about the thing, you're laying in bed and you sit up suddenly, oh my goodness, did I close the garage door?
Never had that either.
Really?
No. Doesn't hit me.
Okay, then. Right. Well,
you did not
maybe
sell
I'm
one
special.
Of those to me.
Maybe
you
I'm special from those
sell
standpoints.
One of those to me.
Then.
All right. And we've got 2 minutes to talk about the...
Actually, let's jump over to the last bullet we've got down there.
Okay.
You know, it is starting to get close to graduation time, right?
Right.
You know, folks are probably thinking, hey, I'll bet my high school senior needs a computer for college. And what's my number one rule at this point of the year? You wait till June or July. You wait for the back-to-school deals. Give them a gift certificate. Give them a nice little card that says, I owe you a computer. We're going to go shopping in June or July. You got to watch the back-to-school sales. Right now, there's a bunch of model changes. It's kind of like if you're buying a car in August or September. Everything new is coming out, and there's not really any deals on the new stuff. So June, July, that's the back-to-school buying season. Now, the computer itself, it should be cheaper than it is today, but they're always throwing in something else. Like Apple has gotten rid of the whole dollars off. They're giving you $300 headphones. And I am seeing on campus a ton of over-the-ear noise-canceling headphones that folks use to create their own little private space to study, to read, to do what they need to do.
Smart marketing, because it's not costing them $300.
No, heck no. No, it's probably, you know,
made in China, little Chinese fingers putting these things together every day.
Maybe $50 when it leaves their warehouse or their assembly plant, right?
All right, so hold off till
I would
summertime.
Say June or July. And as the time gets a little closer, we'll start talking about what's current and what you ought to be looking for maybe in the May time frame so you can start shopping.
All right, Dean Plummeter. DeanTechTalk.com is the website. DeanTechTalk.com. We'll